John, good afternoon to you. How are you?
How are you doing, Philip?
Go on and tell us what your view of this upcoming badger cull is. 6,000 badgers a year to be culled now by whoever wins the Department of Agriculture tender.
Well, I was reading it. I'm reading about it over the last couple of days. I was reading about it today. And I'm just beginning to wonder, Philip, every time there's a cull, and it's been going on now for about 35 years, you always hear that there's going to be a vaccine. And I remember John Gormley saying, well, this would be the last cull that they were working on a vaccine and it would be available soon. And I'm just beginning to wonder, where are these vaccines? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I don't know where they are, but I know that isn't the difficulty that you'd have to administer a vaccine to each and every single badger every year?
Well, I'd like to know if it's true, if these vaccines are being developed. I'd like to know where it has been developed. I think basically this is just an excuse to stop people protesting. Because, you know, the badgers have been with us for, 10,000 years since the Ice Age. Mm-hmm. And these problems are only beginning to happen now. And it is a direct result of overstocking on farms. And I was reading quite a bit about this, where small strands of TB can live for 6 months in slurry. So if you're going to be spreading slurry onto the land, no matter how many badgers you kill, if there's a small strand of TB there, it starts the cycle all over again. So what is the point of this?
So we should be looking a little bit more closely at practice on farms.
Well, I mean, there is non-existent hygiene in sales yards. If there's one infected animal there and it gets into the slurry, the whole circle goes on again. And I mean, why kill 12,000 badgers because of this?
Bernie, you've been hand-rearing badgers.
Yes, I did badger cob rescue for some years. And they would be TB tested before release. They passed two tests and we've never had a TB badger.
But explain to me, are these badgers who've lost their parents due to the cull, or where did you get them?
They would come in. Unfortunately, we cannot save badger cubs who are orphaned when the mother is caught in a snare because they're too young to make it over ground. We can save them if they manage to exit the set, usually if they are about 6 to 8 weeks old. Younger than that, there is no hope for them. They will die underground of hypothermia and starvation.
Bernie, you don't think that the badger population is in any danger of dying out, though? Is this just individual humanitarian action on your part?
No. Badger Watch now has been campaigning 25 years this year. And they have taken out in excess of 100,000 badgers so far. You could add maybe 104. It is extermination by stealth on the part of the department. They snare through the breeding season. Our badger population has been decimated. The vast majority of badgers removed by the Department of Agriculture were perfectly healthy. They have taken out and killed our healthy badger population. We are left with about one third of our original estimate, which was estimated at in excess of 200,000 by Dr. Chris Small in the mid-90s. And that's the situation today.
Let me bring in Tom Short here. Just one second, John. I'll come back to you. Tom, you're farming on the edge of a TB hotspot area. Is Bernie right? Is extermination the right word to use?
No, I think that's a dreadful way of looking at it. I think we have to look at this from going back for over 20 years at this stage. This has been a problem. And I think if you were to follow through what your other speakers are saying, they would want to leave badgers, infected badgers, out in the wildlife, out in the wilds, to die from TB. Like, TB is a dreadful, dreadful disease for any animal to get. It's a very long and slow kill. And is that what those people are wishing for? And the same with the cattle. I think you have to go back and see what was happening 25 years ago when the TB incidents in cattle started to rise. We had to do something. They investigated. They can see a link between the TB and the cattle and the TB and the badger. And they've taken out quite a number of badgers. But the vast, vast majority of those badgers that would have been taken out were going to die with TB anyway.
Bernie?
Wrong.
Incorrect.
Philip, that's very much wrong, Philip. I was at a meeting of the Irish Wildlife Trust not so long ago. They had a special programme on about badgers, and very, very, very few, if any badger that they've been trapping has been...
The Department of Agriculture have figures 35% of all badgers that they have trapped, snared, have TB. But let me go back. We had 0.06 percent of our cattle with TB. Today, 2013, we've 0.2%.
What about the overstocking of farms?
In the UK, the trend has gone the other way. From 2000, they had 0.2%, whereas now they have 0.5%. So we have over halved the incidence of TB in cattle, whereas in the UK, where the badger cull has failed for all sorts of reasons, the TB incidence has actually doubled. So, you know, that's the facts of the matter as we stand. But I think you cannot just blankly say put out and the lack of hygiene in mart. No animal, no TB animal has ever got into a mart. Because once a herd has a TB animal in it, or what we call a reactor, that animal has to be taken from that herd and brought to a designated slaughter area.
Let's deal with this bit by bit, though, Tom, if we can. John, let's go back to what's kind of hard to argue with, what Tom says there, that the instance has been halved in the course of the last 10 years.
One thing, he's also said there that the cull in England has failed. Now, I mean, there's a big if there, Philip.
Okay. It has failed.
Okay, well, let me go on again. Now, your amendment has failed. If we have a cull in Ireland and it fails too, the only result is we're wiping out a creature that existed alongside us.
We're not talking about wiping out any animal.
Tom,
we'll let John make his point.
There is a carrying capacity of how many animals you must go below before the whole population collapses. And that has not been stated in Ireland. There is no research to say how much longer the badger population can exist. They've been under attack from roads. You see them all over the place being killed now on our modern highways. They're under attack from people digging them out. They have their own illnesses to cope with, and now we're going to cull them.
The Department of Agriculture are going to take out a percentage. They're going to leave a sustainable level of badger in the countryside.
Surely, if your arguments are true and you don't take out them all, and some of them are left with TB, you're going to have to keep taking them out.
You're saying that we're going to wipe them all out. There is nobody talking about clearing out the badger.
That will be the end result.
John, let Tom speak there.
TB is a very, very infectious disease. At the moment, you have the cow in the field, you have the deer, and you also have the badger. And all three of those animals will carry TB.
Hold on, one second.
What is the point in spending millions per year, the farming community spending millions per year to try and control the disease in the animals on their farms and turning a blind eye to what's happening in the wildlife? It all works together.
You'll go after the deer as well, will you?
The deer, there is a program being set up at the moment to test and to take out deer that have been infected.
Okay. What other animals will you have to take out as well then?
No. There is no scientific evidence to prove that anything other than the cow, the badger.
Suppose the hare develops something or along those lines. You kill them as well,
But we're talking about the badger and the deer at the moment.
Your argument is flawed insofar as you're admitting.
There's no scientific evidence.
Bernie, go on.
There is no scientific evidence, and England now will not. The English Agriculture Minister, Owen Paterson, will not be allowed by BBC to refer to Ireland as a successful solution to the bovine TB problem. The reason why is there's not a shred of evidence.
No, that's
there's not
very
one
wrong.
Shred of, and have, I will tell you now.
In the last 6 months, we've had the departments, both the Irish and the English department, looking at the system that we're working here in Ireland. It has been so successful that now the UK are saying,
rubbish.
Guys, Our TB has doubled, yours has halved, what have you done? And it's the matter of getting in after the deer and the badger and managing these infected deer. Like, you're saying to leave them there,
Northern Ireland
die
has
in
the same reduction as ourselves, and they don't call.
TB.
There's no calling in Northern Ireland, and they have the same reduction levels.
No.
Scotland are TB-free, they've never sneered. Wales are going down the vaccination route.
And if we go down the vaccination route with our cattle, we will lose our health status. Our markets will be gone. Nobody wants, because once you vaccinate an animal with a live vaccine, they have that disease then. We cannot and will not allow our animals to be infected by a vaccine.
I think I am referring to badger vaccination.
But how practical is it to catch every badger in the country once a year and vaccinate it? How can that be done?
Well, you've managed to take out in excess of 100,000 already.
Answer that question, Bernie.
Your trapper has orders for total clearance of every set that is under his control.
No, that's very wrong.
It's not wrong, that is the fact.
The Department of Agriculture will do when the cattle have a problem, when there's a herd with a problem with TB, the Department of Agriculture will move in and have a look to see where the badger sets are. They will then trap a number of badgers. They will then test those badgers, and it has, as I say, 37% of the badgers that have been trapped have been deemed to have TB.
The vast majority of them then are still healthy badgers. You're doing us no service.
You're saying to leave that 37% roam away in the wildlife and die. Take months and months to die from TB. I don't think that's not going to solve the problem. And in the meantime, the 37% will double. Every badger will end up with TB if you don't keep taking out the sick ones.
John, what was your question?
Okay, so we have to take out.
Bernie, hang on. Bernie, hang on a second. If everybody talks at the same time, nobody hears anything. John, what were you going to say?
The Irish Wildlife Trust, Philip, have done a very, very, very thorough investigation into this. And they have proven that hardly any of the badgers that they have come across were infected with TB. But they also claim that the infections can, in fact, come from the cows to the badger populations.
And correct. It has been... You're correct. The infection is coming. We're killing the cows. Any infected animal in the cow herd is taken out. Gone.
So
it
one
is
question.
Not allowed.
Can the
that
TB
is not
then...
correct.
Please,
that
listen,
is correct. That is very correct.
Every animal in the country is tested once a year,
and if it is deemed to be positive for TB, it is taken out, and the farm is closed down. There is no animals allowed to be bought or sold. It is closed down until such time. 60 days after the reactor leaves.
I wonder how far apart the two sides are here. Question to both Bernie and John. Do you think that there should ever be any kind of culling or control of populations of wild animals at all?
If there is scientific evidence that it would work. But there is a bloodlust among the farmers.
No, hang on. A bloodlust?
That's the problem,
and
yes.
How can you prove that? Because it's not the farmers who are carrying out the cull.
The farmers are demanding the cull, and the Irish government are facilitating
our Department of Agriculture.
There's no evidence there, Phil, that it will work.
Have proven that by taking out the badger, the sick badgers, that the badger population will become healthier, but also... the deer population, if the sick ones are taken out, will become healthier.
But you won't know an animal is sick until you kill them.
Okay, same question again to Bernie. Bernie, do you think that a cull of any wild animal can ever be justified to control the population, control the spread of disease?
There's no scientific basis for it.
Well,
furthermore, an animal that has been deemed a TB animal, when that goes to the factory... If the TB is confined to a single organ, that organ is removed and that animal is passed on. I have it in writing.
All right, but hang on a second. Has Tom not shown already that there is scientific evidence to show that this does work? Because over the course of the last 10 years, the instances of TB have been reduced where we have targeted culls of the populations of badgers. and reduced by
half. Every year we're taking out 6,000 to 7,000 of an ever-decreasing badger population, and there is much pressure on badger from all sides. And I would reckon that we're well under 80,000 badgers at the moment. And at, drawn to its logical conclusion, we'll be left without a viable
population. Let me bring in some more voices here. John Fitzgerald, good afternoon. What's your point?
Good afternoon. Well, my point is on the snaring itself. Even if you go along with the department's view that all these badgers need to be culled, snaring is, I would suggest, a very cruel method of capturing badgers. I mean, a cage trap would be more humane, although I don't believe that a cull is justified in any event, but it would be a cage trap would be the lesser of two evils. There's a problem with snaring. The department people who put these snares down, you know, come along a few hours later, maybe the next morning, to shoot the badger. But you have another problem in the countryside, which is badger baiting. And the people involved in that extremely cruel sport of badger baiting, in which badgers are pitted against, you know, pit bull terriers.
Let's not lay that at the feet of farmers. Yeah, yeah. Can I bring in Tom Short to clarify that point? Tom, I mean, whoever wins this tender, are they going to be asked to trap with cages or will they be using snares?
This is nothing new. Badger management control has been going on for 20 years. There is absolutely nothing new about this new tender. As regards what they're using, they will be using a combination of both snare and boxes, and the animal will be taken out. Once it is caught in the snare, it will be shot, you know, as soon, and that's very often within 10, 12 hours of the badger
being
caught.
Is leaving a live animal in a snare for 10 or 12 hours not cruel, though?
But it's not being choked. It's not, you know, it's there. It's caught.
They strangle in the snares.
It's able to graze in a surrounding area. But it is the system that has been used, and it can, you know, it is working. I keep getting back to the point.
The point is that, you know, just because it's been used, just because it's the way that things have been done, doesn't necessarily make it the best or the right or the most humane way to go about doing it, does it? Are the boxes not a more humane way?
Well, they're still trapped. You know, the animal goes into the box. He's trapped in a very, very small. You know, they're still trapped. End of story. Whether they're snared or trapped in the box, it's the same thing. And the department official will come along, or whoever is hunting the badger will come along and shoot the badger. Then that's what and then the badger is sent off for testing.
And Tom, do we need a deer cull and a fox cull as well? Because presumably
spread. Nobody has ever mentioned anything about foxes, but we do have, and it has been scientifically proven, there is a direct link between TB spread in deer to the cow and to the badger. It's a three-way circle, and if you just keep taking out the cows, the cattle, that's, you know, you will never get to the end of the problem.
Is there any point, Tom, in having a badger cull unless you have a deer cull as well?
Well, in fairness, Wicklow is one of the areas where the badger or the deer management needs, because we have such an amount of upland and forestry and parks and wildlife. You know, our population of deer have got out of hand in the last 10 or 15 years. Out of hand. They're now down grazing on land with the cattle, and hence spreading the TB. And the cattle are spreading TB to the deer. You know, it's a two-way thing. It comes from the deer to the cow and from the cow back. So you have to manage all three.
The case that the deer are moving down into the lowlands and into farmers' pasture land because we can't burn the uplands anymore and burn off all of the old gorse and allow for fresh growth of heather?
For years, for generations, the uplands, the high on the mountains, the heather and the growth was always controlled every year with a certain amount of burning, and then you got fresh regrowth, and that's what the deer thrived on. But now that burning is not allowed, the gorse and the heather has all got very strong, the deer don't like it, so they have to find a new habitat. They've pushed down. We also have a huge amount of forestry being harvested in you know, forestry that was cut in the, or planted in the 60s is now being harvested. They've no habitat, so they're down grazing with the animals on the lowland, and the TB situation has just exploded. There is hot spots right across the country.
Let me go back to this idea of just finding out how far apart the two sides are here. Do you accept that Bernie and John have genuine concerns about the manner in which badgers are being treated, and that perhaps the Department of Agriculture and the farming community haven't done a particularly good job of explaining why they feel a cull is necessary.
Well, you know, in fairness, I would certainly contradict them on the population of the badger. There is nobody talking about taking out all of the badgers. We're managing where there is a problem with TB. You manage, you get in there and make sure that the badger population, the sick ones are taken out and let the healthy ones thrive and breed and breed. Because a sick badger
that
or a sick deer or a sick cow will not breed properly. And hence, the quality of the health status of the badger or the deer population will only decrease.
Okay, Bernie, what were you going to... Or sorry, was it John you were coming in there?
How does this man reckon he's going to take out sick badgers? How does he know in advance which is sick and which are healthy?
The trapper has orders for total clearance.
I know this, but I'm asking this man now if he'd answer that question. You say you take out the sick badgers.
I have already answered it.
How would you know going into a set which is sick and which are healthy badgers?
If a farm goes down with TB or the animals on the farm go down with TB, the department order these people in to trap on that particular farm. But if there's not a problem on the next door neighbour's farm or two farms, then there
doesn't
is no trouble.
That's not what happens.
Well, you know, that
I know,
is,
I'm
involved
I, I'm
in
from
the farming
country, and I know what you
and
do.
And I do know what happens
okay.
on the farming community. But they will not. They are not going in. If there's not a TB problem in the livestock, there is no trapping a badger.
Okay, let me bring in Michael here. Michael, what's your point?
Hello, Philip.
Good afternoon.
Well, my point is, first of all, they're on about badgers there and all this kind of stuff. And really and truly, at the end of the day, it's the farmer again that's paying. Now, I have
The farmer against what?
He's paying at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
He's paying, like, one time we used to have free tests when they came out first. Like, this is going on now for at least 35 to 40 years. And it's nothing really to do with badgers as far as I'm concerned. I have badgers in my farm. I had one or two outbreaks of TB, but they weren't next or near me. The badgers are fine. And how do you know a sick badger from a badger that's okay? Of course you do. And I'm very surprised that people that think they know it all. You know, I never went to college and I went to school much or anything like that, but I know a sick one. Because the reason why, if you see a badger out before dusk, that badger, there is something wrong with the creature. And you
so
do,
how will you get the rest of them then if you go into a set? How are you going to figure out which
attack? Hold on, if you go into a set, right, well, the Department of Agriculture went into a set, good sets that I have here, and they're healthy badgers. They killed three or four badgers, right? They came back the following year and said, we've taken more badgers. I asked them, what was the results of the test, the badgers you took away last year? Oh, he said, we don't know. We didn't know.
But that's you're proving me right, then. Instead of being sarcastic, you just don't know before you kill a badger whether it's TB or not. That's the truth.
Pardon?
And most of the badgers
are you saying, so that you wipe out everything just to prove there's a couple of bad?
That's what's happening.
That's no way of doing anything.
That's the roaches are going down. Wipe out everything that you suspect. What you won't claim is TB can exist within the slurry and it can live for 6 months. And you can wipe out everything if there is an infection there, which is caused largely by overstocking. You're going to reproduce it again and again.
By inoculating cattle, aren't you even injecting the TB?
I would agree with you.
And why are you doing it? Because it's all a money racket.
A good way to go down to inoculate your animals. That would be a very, very good way. And bring in proper hygiene in marks, so as if something happens that you're not having
people
walking around.
Bring in proper hygiene in marks. You don't have even hygiene in the Department of Agriculture. He hadn't even a crush to catch him. He had a warble coming in, and he hadn't even a place to look after him. I brought him in from Belgium.
You're
always on about the peasant at the end of the day. We want you do this and you do that, and we'd all told what to do, right? And as I said before, everyone is getting money, and I'm in Suckland, the industry. And look, we're at our ends here because there isn't enough.
Bottom line here, Michael, since you stopped culling, have you had any outbreaks of TB in your herd?
No, I hadn't, and I hadn't for years, and I have them, and even if I got a bad, even if a bad frost came, now the badger mightn't come up for a few days, but I'd always thought of like about...
And if you saw a badger out, if you saw a badger out before dusk, would you go and take it upon yourself to cull him there and then yourself?
If I'd seen him out before dusk, yes, I would. There's something not right if he was going around and he out in the daytime. There's something wrong.
John, is that fair enough?
Well, you know, it could be an injury from a belt of a car. It could be an injury from dogs. It could be anything. He could have escaped out of one of the traps and bitten his own leg off, which is not an unusual thing to happen. So this folk wisdom doesn't stand up. A badger can have many problems to have it. It could be just simple hunger because they're getting it so hard to exist. And you just don't go out there and shoot them because 99% of the time, Philip, they're not carrying the TV virus. And if you investigate it deeply, that's the one truth that comes up and up and up.
I'm going to leave you with the last word. Doesn't necessarily mean you're right, John, but I'll leave you with the last word on
I'm
this occasion.
To, I can be mistaken like anyone else. I'm making no claims,
but
Philip.
Thank you.
There is a moral thing that these animals have been with us for a very, very long time.
Thank you very much for your call, John, and to the other John and to Tom and to Michael and to Bernie. Thank you, all five of you.
1850 715 815.
Hello, Philip, how are you?
You called us about badgers.
Well, I did. I'm trying to take the emotion out of it, I suppose, because I think there are some... first of all, my husband was a large animal vet, and he finally had to give over his practice because he developed brucellosis himself. And I knew a lot of the vets who did do that. So now that's not TB, obviously, but at the same time, I've always been interested in the subject. Then I realised that the cattle that are culled from a TB breakdown are sent to the factory. Okay?
Yes, to be rendered.
And it occurred to me when I saw how the factory renders the residue. And it goes out through, it goes into a holding tank, which is an oxygenated tank, the residue of that, the liquid goes into the river, but the solids are actually spread on the land.
Yes.
And it occurred to me, because of my original interest, that is there a possibility? I wrote to the Farmers Journal to ask, what was the possibility of... I have to put this correctly.
Is it being spread on the land? Does the virus survive when
it's... Exactly. What heat? It's heat-treated. So does it survive, and at what heat does it survive? And because nobody seems to have made the connection between the fact that rendered animals are then finally deposited back on the land, is there a connection?
Well, I don't know. And what did they say to you?
They didn't.
Oh, they didn't answer.
No, they didn't. And I have asked other vets, actually, because I have some, obviously, within my, that I would
know.
And
what did they say?
They didn't say anything. They didn't say... You see, sometimes there's a malfunction in when it's an environmental issue like this, and people don't follow through. Now, why would I be the first person to come up with this notion? So I'm presuming that the notion has been out there for more scientific brains than mine. I was only interested from the point of view that my husband had suffered greatly because of contracting it's called zoonosis when a disease spreads from one animal to another.
It spreads from the animal population to the human population.
Exactly.
But tell me something, given your own background now and given what you were listening to earlier on in the programme that really did kind of typify the divide between town and country there, what is your view on culling?
Well, I don't like the idea of it, to tell you the truth. We used to find badger traps on ditches when we were out walking, and we would always dismantle them.
Was this you and your husband?
However, I suppose man dictates, doesn't he? So I suppose the badger is doomed unless something comes up that is going to... I just think they don't look at all the possibilities, that's all. It's a very difficult subject, and it's a very emotive subject. And if you're a badger lover, as a lot of people are, It's very difficult. But then
it's very difficult as well. I mean, you must have an appreciation being a vet's wife then, of the people who are trying to make a livelihood here, and what is, let's not forget, a 9 billion euro export industry as well.
Well, I can tell you something else that's very serious. Yes, it's that's the problem. It's the size of the industry. The industry is extremely powerful. And I suppose we are meat-eating, we are carnivorous people, and we also export. So the bigger picture has to be looked at.
Yeah, and we love our dairy, we love our pint of milk and our little bit of butter. So, you know, we're going to have to make or expect wildlife to make certain accommodations.
Been made because we now have to pasteurise everything in order to produce cheese or milk or anything. You can no longer get... I knew a solicitor once, actually, who got brucellosis from cheese. So now you can't do that anymore because it's pasteurised. So things are progressing. But it seems a shame to have to lose a badger population in a small country. When is there empirical evidence to prove that the badgers are the carriers always?
Well, it is the deer and it is other cattle within the herd, and it is any number of different things.
And maybe it's the spreading of infected slurry.
I know, but at the same time, nobody's talking about culling the entire badger population of the entire country just in areas where there are TB outbreaks. So there's no reason why the badger population shouldn't be able to thrive in future years.
Yeah, but badgers only have one or two cubs a year.
Helen,
no, they're not highly productive animals.
Thank you very much for your call, Helen.
Okay, it's just another
perspective and a very, very valuable perspective.
Another problem
as well
to the Department of Agriculture. They'll be thrilled with me.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Okay. 1850 715 815.